Hey there, and welcome to the First Missionary Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're honored you've chosen to join us today. In a few moments, Senior Pastor Alan Miller will launch into this week's teaching. Before that, though, we'd like to encourage you to also check out our website, firstmissionary.net, where you can find out more about what the Lord is doing in our local body and how you can get involved. Now here's Alan with this week's teaching.
Today we are heading to Matthew chapter 27. Begin to prepare our hearts to move over to that text. Our hearts and our minds are brought back to Jesus on the cross. We have been there for the past 4 to 5 weeks now, looking at Jesus on the cross. And today we are going to look at the very moment he dies. And I would have to imagine in my heart and my mind that at that moment when he died, I would dare say that there were a lot of hopes and dreams and ideas and thoughts and aspirations that might have died with him. A lot of hopes, dreams, aspirations, ideas, expectations that likely when he breathed his last breath, there were folks who thought that those things breathed their last breath as well. That when he died and he was dead, it was over and all was lost. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like it was all over and all was lost? Have you ever felt like you were in a situation and it was all over and all was lost? Have you ever been there? Tense moment of desperation, anxiety, fear. It was all you could do to put one foot in front of the other foot, and you thought that everything against you was caving in, and you literally felt like death. Anyone here ever felt like death? You went through something in your life, and you thought all was lost, and it was over. At that point, you needed not just a turning point in your life. You needed a miracle. You needed a miraculous turning point in your life. Throughout the course of this series, we've been talking about turning points. On the back of your bulletin today, you'll find the study guide and the listening guide, where you can take notes on today's message. We have planned this strategically so you can get the most out of each message and out of the series. It's going to allow you to engage with the message, to think about what the series as a whole is about, and we share that and express that to you each and every week. It's going to allow you to think about the key teaching points that you hear throughout the message. Again, you'll find this on the back of your bulletin today and every week. You'll be able to interact and think about, okay, how is God speaking to my life right now? What is he saying to me? And you'll be able to write that down. You'll be able to think about the message and then think about what you're going to take home. We don't want you to leave here and just feel like you heard a sermon. In fact, years ago, I quit preaching sermons. I gave up on preaching sermons. And the reason why I gave up on preaching sermons was because there was a season that every time I prepared a sermon, I came to church, and right during the worship time, God would impress upon my heart something different than what I had really, really studied hard and prepared. So I started changing the whole approach. And instead of going, okay, God, give me a sermon this week, it's God, give me a message from your heart. Somebody just this past week thought that they had been set up in our service. They thought they'd been set up because last week the message was so directed to their life that they went to somebody else and they said, "Did you tell him what to preach?" And you and I both know that I'm not near as smart enough or clever enough. I could never do that. I mean, you know, when stuff like that happens, you've prayed and you ask for a message from God and then God speaks, that's when I kind of step out of the way and I say, "God, that's your deal, and you deal with people, and that's between you and God." But as you think about how this message interacts with your life and what you're going to take away from it, at the bottom part of your listening guide today, you might ask a question that you want to study this week. You might even want to shoot me a question by email or text. And what do you think would be a really good title for today's message? And what really, really came to my heart this morning was this: when it seems like it's over. When it seems like it's over. When it seems like it's over, you don't just need a turning point in your life. You need a miracle. You need a miraculous turning point. In all your favorite books, your favorite movies, throughout the plot, there were what's called plot points. These were significant events within the story, within the plot, that spins the action around in another direction. Typically, there are about five of these in every good book and every good movie. The first part begins with an opportunity. You're introduced to the main character. The main character has an opportunity presented in front of him or her. They embrace the opportunity and they go on their journey. The next plot point is a new situation. The change of plans, perhaps, the objective becomes zeroed in. Stage three, or plot point number three, is where the hero's plan seems to be working. I mean, they're moving, they're going, everything's falling into place. At this point, the main character is so far in, there is now no turning back. And then in about 75%, about three-fourths of the way through the movie or the book, there comes complications. The stakes get higher. The goal becomes much harder than expected. There's a major setback. Something happens to the hero. All seems lost. And then plot point number five, the final push, there's a climax. The hero, with everything they have left in them, all the strength that they can muster up, they're down to their last ounce of strength. They give it all they've got. In the last couple of minutes, there comes the climax of the story. And most of the time, it's in that moment that there is final or ultimate victory. Unless you've seen the Avengers Infinity War. Spoiler alert today. Then after that, at the very end, like if you stayed for the credits, at the very end, you know there was a scene at the very end after the credits, there's what's called the aftermath. And you kind of get a picture of what life is going to look like for the hero moving forward. Those are plot points. But a turning point is a singular event. It is the main thing that changes everything. Say that with me. The main thing that changes. The main thing that changes everything. And the greatest turning point in all of human history is the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the main thing that changed everything. The old goes away. The old way was marked by what man can do for God to try to earn God's approval. that was the old way, and the problem with the old way was not the old way, but the problem with the old way is with man, because we're not perfect. We can't do it. We cannot earn God's acceptance. And the whole point of the old way was to show us that we can't do it. Through the cross and the resurrection, the old way goes and the new way comes. And the new way is based on grace. It's not what you do for God, but everything that God has done for you. And the new way is so great and so powerful that when it comes into your heart, into your life, it changes you. And you're never the same. It changes you literally inside out. That's the greatest turning point in all of human history. And until you come to a point in your life where you by faith accept what God has done through you through Jesus, you'll never find your turning point. Your turning point is only possible because He lives. It's only possible because of the cross and the resurrection. But as we've looked at Jesus on the cross, there are these little things that happen along the way that let us know that this is really a huge and significant event. I mean, we talked about the expectations of people. You know, He was the wrong kind of Savior. We talked about what took place when the temple veil was torn in two, how that which was on the inside comes out and that which is on the outside comes in. It's where the veil of division is shattered and man is now reconciled to God. We talked about what Jesus said in that last moment right before He prayed. I mean, right before He died, when He cried out. He cried out, "Tetelestai," which means it is finished, paid in full. Over, done, and you can't do anything to add to it. We looked at a sign of Jesus on the cross last week when He was dead but not broken. Remember, it was prophesied in Scripture that there would not be a broken bone in the Passover lamb, and people knew that Jesus was the Lamb of God. They didn't break a bone. He gave up His life. He died. Nothing was broken, but the other two criminals on each side, they broke their legs and they pierced Him, right? And you remember those Scriptures that foretold of that, so that people see Him and people start going, "Yes, this is Him." And Paul would use that, and he would use the Old Testament Scriptures to show that Jesus Christ is the Messiah so that people would believe, place their faith and trust in Christ. Until you have faith in the turning point, you'll never find your turning point. And all of this is to lead you to a point of surrender and acceptance of your life to Jesus. And sometimes it's great just to be reminded of what He did for us. But there's one last thing. And we're going to Matthew's gospel to see this. It's not just the last thing here that we're looking at, but it's really, really almost bizarre. John doesn't record it. Matthew is the only gospel writer that speaks of this particular event that happens. A lot of people don't even talk about it because it's so unique. So look with me in Matthew 27. Starting around verse 50. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up His spirit. Again, Matthew's version, Matthew writing to a Jewish audience. And you got to keep that in mind. A Jewish audience would understand all of these little things that happen. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up His spirit. Behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. In fact, there are seven clauses or seven actions that occur when Jesus died. They're all marked at the beginning with the word "and." And there's seven of them in the text. It's almost like this big, huge run-on sentence of these things that happen when Jesus died. And you start with the temple being torn in two. You can see that there in the text. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And what? And something else happened. And the earth shook. Sometimes we need something to shake in our lives. Do you ever need something to shake in your life? And the rocks were split. And then in verse 52, and this is where it gets really unique, almost a little strange. And the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep or who had died were what? Were what? They were raised. And there's another clause. Coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city. The holy city is Jerusalem. And what did they do? They go around and they make appearances to many people in Jerusalem. I mean, is this not like the zombie apocalypse? I mean, this is the Walking Dead before there was ever the Walking Dead. They appear to many people. And then in verse 54, there's something that happens with one of these guys who's there, the centurion, Roman guard, who is over, I believe, 100 other soldiers, a centurion, and those who were with him, the centurion and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, they became very frightened. And this is what they said. This man is who he said he was. Truly, this man is the Son of God. And we read that, and we step back, and we go, whoa, what in the world just happened here? Most likely, these individuals are identified as saints, believers, who find resurrected life, appear to many. Likely they go back, they quote-unquote die again, they're buried again. Nothing else is said about them. Your other gospel writers don't talk about them. But some have even said that Matthew uses this only as a literary device. But there's no reason to draw that particular conclusion because, after all, who are we dealing with? We are dealing with the Son of God, very God Himself. And could it be that this is another thing that God used for the people of that day to show them, listen to me, this man is who he says he is, and your only hope is in him. And if he could, and many times he does, whatever it is that you need in your life in some form or fashion, he tailor fits it to you. And this is tailor fit for a Jewish audience. And could it be that when this happened and they start scratching their heads and they're like going, okay, zombie apocalypse, what is going on here? That their hearts and their minds go back to another story. That they would know. That would make perfect sense to them. And that they would draw the conclusion based on that, that he is the Messiah. Our only hope is in him. We'll place our faith and trust in Jesus. He's the one. And we'll proclaim, just like the Roman centurion, he is the Son of God. Could it be that their hearts and their minds went to Ezekiel chapter 37? Which is one of the neatest stories you will ever find. In Ezekiel chapter 37, we see a nation that is desolate. A nation that is desperate. A nation and a people that feel or look like all hope is gone, all is lost. And I want you to know something today. No matter what you go through in your life, you will never experience a resurrection until you first experience a death. And that's one of the hardest parts about our journeys. Is so many times, all of our hopes, all of our dreams are built into something or someone or an event, something in our lives, and our hopes and our dreams are right there, and then something happens. And then a death comes. And we feel like that thing, that whatever, has died. And how do you feel when something dies? You feel hopeless, right? You feel like it's over. You feel like it's all lost. And so when God gives Ezekiel a vision of the nation of Israel who are spiritually depleted, he sees nothing but a picture of death. And in many situations and circumstances of our lives and things we go through, that may seem to be exactly what we are looking at. Look with me in Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Oh, might the hand of God be upon us. How many of you all today would say, man, I want the hand of God on me. Anybody else here? I want the hand of God on me. Look at your neighbor right now and just say, hey, I want his hand on me. I want his hand on me. Look at your neighbor right now and just say, I want his hand on me. Because unless his hand is on me, there is no hope at all. And here's what you got to understand. The only way that you can remove hope is to remove the hand of God. And his hand is never going to be removed. Ezekiel says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. And guess what? In the middle of the valley, he set me down in the midst of death. That's exactly what's happening here. It was a valley full of bones. He caused me to pass among them around about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And lo, they weren't just bones, but they were dry bones. I mean, they just weren't death, but they were death warmed over. They weren't just gone, but they were history. They were drying up. Far beyond the stage of death, they're in decay. They're in decay. They were very dry. He said to me, Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, oh, Lord God, you know. As if to say, Lord God, only you know. And as Tony Evans said this one time when he's preaching on the Valley of Dry Bones, he said, whenever we say to God, God, only you know, it means, God, I don't know. I haven't a clue. I mean, Ezekiel, in trying to figure this out, he was just as lost as those bones were. Trying to figure, I don't know, God. Oh, Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, now watch this, guys, okay? He said to me, prophesy over these bones. To prophesy means to speak God's word. To speak God's word is to speak God's truth. To speak God's truth is simply to speak God. And there are various things that happen in our lives, things that I deal with. Some days it's just hard putting one foot in front of the other. Some days it's just hard to come up here. You're fighting like Satan. Every demon that comes against you, we all battle them. We all battle them. Jesus battled them. It seems like everything comes against you. It's hard just to put one foot in front of the other. And so God says to Ezekiel, just prophesy over these bones. Speak God's word over these bones. Speak God's truth over these bones. Speak God. And sometimes all you can do is just speak God. How many of y'all have ever been there and you just knew all you can do is just speak who? Just speak God. guy asked me the other day about the journey that we are on as a body, as a church. Here we are coming down the last stretch. What a great time we had last Sunday night of worship and prayer and going through and praying over and believing the vision and the future and seeing people, lives transform and people come to know Jesus. A lady just last week in our service found hope in Jesus through the message and the proclamation of the gospel here. And there's thousands and millions more out there who still haven't heard the true, pure gospel of Jesus. And he said to me, what do you hope when it's all said and done? I said, I only hope for one thing when it's all said and done. I don't want to write a book. I don't want somebody to invite me to a conference. I don't want to give a speech on how you do this or how you do that or how you lead a church. There's only one thing I want to be able to say when we look back on the journey, and it's one word, and it's God. Just God. There is no explanation under the sun other than God. And God is looking for people who will join that journey and have the very same hearts. And what you find out through Scripture every single time is that those who sought the heart of God, they saw God. But those who said, we will not go, and they resisted seeking the heart of God, they did not see God. Today, maybe the only thing you can do, the only thing you can do is speak God. Because you know, and I know, unless God does it, it is not going to get what? Y'all say, unless God does it, it's not going to get what? It is not going to get done. Speak God over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. You cannot help but to imagine when man was created and he was lifeless, created from the dust of the ground, and there he was and he lay lifeless. Created, but no breath. Existing, but not living. And then what does God do? The Scripture says that God breathes into him the breath of what? Breathes into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. No doubt that for Ezekiel, God is bringing his mind back to that moment where God animates life into man. And it's got to take the breath of God. It has to have the breath of God in order to find new life. And he says, I will put sinews on you, to the dry bones. Speaking over the dry bones, I'll put sinews on you. I'll make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, put breath in you so that you may come alive. And you'll know. You'll know. We'll know. You will know that I am the Lord. So Ezekiel, he takes this in. He hears God's word. He acts upon God's word. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I spoke God, as I just spoke God, there was a noise. And behold, a little rattle. I'm telling you, sometimes just a little rattle. Just a little rattle can carry you on a lot of days. Is that not right? Can I get an amen? Sometimes you need to hear just a little rattle. There was a little rattle. Just a little rattle. And the bones came together. And they started matching up. Bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Again, speak God. Prophesy, son of man. Say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. The dry bones came to life. The dry bones came to life. And here's what's interesting about this story. Why did Israel ever find itself as dry bones, where it seemed that spiritual death had completely come over Israel? You'll find out, listen to this, in the preceding chapters, Israel had begun to worship idols. And they sought the hearts of other gods other than the heart of the one true God. And here's what happens every single time. Whenever there is disobedience, disobedience leads to distance, and distance leads to seemingly death. Let me say that again. Israel had pursued the hearts of other gods. They had worshipped idols. And in worshiping idols, through their disobedience, there came this distance between themselves and God. And where there is distance, there seems to be seemingly death. And here's the question. Are you ready? Here's the question. What would it be? What would it be that would bring this new life and spiritual vitality back to Israel? And it, guys, it's in two words. Two. That's four. That's two. Two words. New covenant. New covenant. New covenant. God had told them about the new covenant in Ezekiel 36. And listen to this. And this is what we need. This is what you need. This is what our world needs. This is what Israel needs. Moreover, I give you a new heart. And put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a true heart of flesh. This is the promise of the new covenant. And by the way, when does the new covenant come? When does it happen? It happens on the cross of Jesus Christ and through his resurrection. Their hope was in Jesus. So when they see the dead come into life, their minds would go back to Ezekiel, and they would know that Jesus was the Son of God, very God himself, because nobody can bring dry bones to life other than God. Nobody can resurrect any situation other than God. Nobody can change your life other than God. Nobody can change your situation other than God. God is who you need, and he's found through Jesus. And it's when you turn from the false idols and gods of your life and coming back to him, you draw near. And he takes your face just like the first man and breathes his life into yours. I will put a new spirit, my spirit in you. And that will cause you to walk in my ways. My life will lead you. My life will lead you. And here's what you got to know. Long before God cares about your situation, he cares about you. And long before your situation will ever find hope, you have to find hope. And sometimes you think it's about your situation, and the reality is it's about you. It's about you. It's about what God wants to do in your life. And then once he changes your heart, then your situation can start looking different. You'll be careful, he says, to walk in my ordinances. And these are three things. Listen to me. Three things the old way can never do. Three things the old way can never give you a new heart. The old way could not put a new spirit in you. And the old way. Say that with me. The old way cannot lead me in the path of righteousness and goodness and of hope. Isaiah 26 also prophesied way back. Listen to this. Your dead will do what? Your dead will live. Their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. For your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to departed spirits. They were looking for the sign. Who is it that can give life to that which is dead? And when Jesus died on the cross and the bodies came out of the tombs, everybody knew. Those who saw it knew he is the Son of God. Only God can do that. And this is not just a neat little story of something bizarre, and a zombie apocalypse. Not just something fanciful. And it's not just God showing off. But it's God leading people to the feet of Jesus. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Because those feet are the only feet you have a chance. As we said last week, those feet would be put in the ground. They'd be put in a tomb. And 3 days later, they'd come back to life. Why? Because you cannot have a resurrection unless there's first a death. Oh my goodness, man. Y'all remember 2016 MC playoff game? I didn't think you would, but anyway. Arizona is beating Green Bay 20-13. Green Bay is led by great pro bowler. Doesn't mean he's good at bowling. Pro bowler, Aaron Rodgers, MVP. Green Bay had the ball on their own 3-yard line. 54 seconds to go, fourth quarter. They have to go 97 yards. And guess what? As the ball was on their own 3-yard line, it was fourth down and 20. You're talking about your back being against the wall. But guess who they had? They had Aaron Rodgers. And in two Hail Mary plays, they score, they win the game. Is there anyone here who needs a Hail Mary? Anyone? Do you know someone who needs a Hail Mary today? God offers to you the one who beat death. He'll take you home. You may not get there the way you want to go, but he will take you home. Can I get an amen? You might not get there the way you want to go, but he will take you home. Would you stand with us? Would you pray with us? Who would say today, God, here's dry bones. I need to be infused by your life. Here I am. As our praise team plays this morning, I'm going to invite our prayer counselors to slip out. If you need to come this morning and pray, or we can pray for you. We invite you to come. Surrender your heart. Offer yourself. And let God carry you.
Thanks for joining us on the First Missionary Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. That's it for this week's teaching, but you can always find more on our website, firstmissionary.net. We'd also like to encourage you to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you benefited from this week's lesson, be sure to share it with your friends and family, then leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.